The National Basketball Association's two-month-long odyssey known as the playoffs begin this weekend. The Los Angeles Lakers are trying to become only the third team in league history to win three championships in a row. To do it, the Lakers will have to navigate a list of unfamiliar contenders. Joining us now to talk about it all is Stefan Fatsis, who covers sports for the Wall Street Journal. Hello, Stefan.
Hey, John.
Stefan, it was an unusual NBA regular season. We had a small market team, the Sacramento Kings, with the league's best record. The normally awful New Jersey Nets doubled their win total from last year and ended up winning the Eastern Conference. And the Boston Celtics are back in the playoffs for the first time in 7 years, I guess it is. Why the big shakeup?
The 1990s ended. Michael Jordan came back with the Washington Wizards, which was a throwback to that great era, but he wasn't the Michael of old. And to everyone's surprise, he did not steal the show, and he ended up the season with his 39-year-old knees giving out. Other NBA legends also are wearying. You've got the Indiana Pacers and their star, Reggie Miller. They're the last seed in the East Conference. The Utah Jazz, they've got their future Hall of Famers, John Stockton and Karl Malone. They're the last seed in the Western Conference. Here's a good measure of the change, though. It's going to be the first playoffs since the 1980s without either the New York Knicks or their former nemesis, the coach Pat Riley, who led the Lakers to four NBA titles and of late has been the coach of the Miami Heat.
Yeah, that's a bit of a watershed. You know, it also seems, though, that the younger players and teams we've heard about for a long time as potential reasons to tune into a post-Jordan NBA finally matured. Who are the ones to watch in the playoffs? And can the Lakers three-peat?
Well, the best teams are all out in the West. Easy. The Sacramento, we mentioned, best record in the league. The Dallas Mavericks have a United Nations worth of young international players who are the future of the league. And as an aside, I might want to mention that the probable first or second pick in the draft after the playoffs are over is likely 7'6" Yao Ming from China. So you've got Dallas and Sacramento, and they also both play this up-tempo, high-scoring game with a lot of good passing that's been missing from the NBA for a long time. Out in the East, any of the eight playoff teams could come out on top. The Nets have their star point guard, Jason Kidd. He could be the league's MVP. He's the one to watch. The Boston Celtics are back. We mentioned they've got Paul Pierce. He finished third in the league in scoring. And as for the Lakers, it's all about Shaquille O'Neal's big right toe. It's been hurt, and Sacramento's chances of dethroning LA and going on to the finals really rest on his toe.
This is the last season for the NBA on NBC, on the NBC television network. The league's moving over to ABC and the sports cable network ESPN next year. Why is that?
Well, NBC decided that it wasn't worth it to keep the NBA. They alone among the big networks have decided that the costs of televising major sports just don't add up anymore, so they passed. NBC doesn't feel like it's giving up much. The ratings for the league have been weak. They dropped 35% on NBC since their deal began 4 years ago. This year, they inched up a little bit, but without three games that got a lot of promotion during the Olympics, they would have fallen. NBC said they lost $200 million under their contract, and they weren't willing to suck up so many losses anymore. As a result, the NBA is moving mostly to cable, which is really a dramatic shift for the sport. You'll only get a handful of games on ABC over the air, and not even every round of the playoffs on broadcast TV. The NBA's commissioner, David Stern, says that's not a problem. Fans know where to find the league these days.
Let's talk women's basketball for a minute. The Women's National Basketball Association, or the WNBA, held its player draft this morning. The first player chosen was Sue Bird, who led the University of Connecticut to the national championship. How's the WNBA doing?
Not too badly. They're starting their sixth season on May 25th, and I think that's a real testament to the impression that it's made on the sports landscape. I think it's here to stay. And that's despite the fact that over time, since the league started, its TV ratings have fallen a little bit, its attendance has dropped a little bit, but the NBA seems willing to ride out the losses, which are financial as well. One big change that we could see, though, the NBA, which owns this league, it owns the teams, it's finally agreeing that maybe we need to move into other markets. Up until now, the WNBA has only had teams in place where there already are NBA teams. The WNBA says, hey, we need to take advantage of some hotbeds in women's college basketball like Connecticut, which could get a team.
Thanks, Stefan.
Thank you, John.
Stefan Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal joins us most Fridays to talk sports.